following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
All right, so good morning again. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And what a great day it is to be worshiping our Lord together. So like I alluded to a little bit, the sermon time this morning is going to be split, and not even split 50-50, split like 95-5. So eventually, I promise we will get into a parable for today. But I want to take some time to share about this past week in Tennessee. So most of you know that this past week, 8 youth and a leader, Belinda, from our church, and then 3 youth and a leader from Green Timbers, traveled together to join 5,700 other students in Knoxville, Tennessee, for CHIC. And you're saying, what's CHIC? CHIC is Covenant High in Christ. It's a triennial youth event that our denomination, the Covenant Church, puts on at the University of Tennessee, which seemed to me like a very random location for the longest time. And it is, like, it's kind of bizarre. It's not the easiest airport to get in and out of by any means. But the staff at that university, their event staff, is incredible. Like, they were sensational all week. They worked so hard. And it became very clear after day one why we go back there year after year after year. They were amazing. So Erica and I also went down. We went down last Thursday, and we served on the team for Main Stage. The Main Stage is one portion of CHIC, and it's the nightly worship services and concerts that some of you may have watched live streaming or have seen on video or on YouTube since then. If you haven't, they're on YouTube, so you can go watch them. And so I'm going to take some time to share some of my experiences, but with the full acknowledgement that they are mine, right? That these are not the same things that Belinda experienced, or Emma, or Caleb, or Deanna, or Brittany, or any of the kids who went. And so I encourage you to ask them about their experiences. The reason I want to talk about my experience is so that you will engage them in their experience. They did not go for just 1 week. They went so that they would shift towards Jesus for the rest of their lives. And we are an important part of that. We are a vital part of that. It cannot stay just 1 week that is now done. This has to be the beginning, and we have to encourage them in that. As a church, we spent 3 years fundraising thousands of dollars to send these students there. There were hours and hours of prayer put in to pray for these students, that they would have an incredible trip, a safe trip, that God would be working in them before, during, and after CHIC. And now we get to invest in them and ask them questions and find out what it is that each of them experienced, how they heard from God, how they will be working on their relationship with Christ moving forward, so that we can make sure this wasn't just 1 week out of 1,000 in a lifetime, but rather it's an incredible beginning for them and for us together. So the theme, before we get there, let me show you this, because it'll get you all excited. So yeah, it was a pretty incredible week. And I have to admit, it seems a little bit strange to be standing on this stage after the stage that was 20 times this size with all of the lights and the music and the speakers and all that stuff. But this stage suits me a little bit better. So the theme for CHIC this year was shift. And so each of the speakers at Main Stage talked about shifts that need to happen or have happened or are going to happen in our lives. Important and vital shifts that need to be made as we seek to give our lives to Jesus. So each speaker, as they opened the Word of God, the Holy Bible, they helped different shifts to take form and take shape. And they shaped the need for different ones, for shifts in different areas of our lives, in different relationships, in our posture, and in our direction. It was a really great theme. There was a lot that the speakers could work with and could dig into. There's plenty that was preached from the Bible, and there's lots that can be explored in the days to come. But another reason that I found it such a great theme is because it is such a common word, shift. It's a word that gets used in everyday conversation, which then became funny as we would have conversations backstage, and someone on the team would use the word shift, usually to a handful of chuckles or maybe eye rolls, like, you intentionally worked that word in. But it's a word we know, and it's something that we do all the time. We make these little shifts that sometimes have a minuscule little impact and sometimes have a monumental impact. Life is full of shifts. On that very first night, Sunday night, we heard from a pastor named Ben Stewart. So Ben works as a pastor at Texas A&M University. It's a huge university, and he does kind of the interdenominational worship services down there. And he began the week talking about the biggest shift of all, God sending his son, Jesus, to earth to save us from our sins. And it was a huge shift from the understanding of the Jewish atonement system, a huge shift in the understanding of who God is. And it's a huge shift that has to come first. He had to set the foundation there. It was the shift that we all needed to know about, needed to hear, and needed to celebrate before any of the other shifts that were talked about the rest of the week could even be true. Jesus came to earth to lead, to live, to die, and to rise again for our sins, so that we might experience God's incredible redemptive grace. One of the things that Ben said was, God's solution to your sin and shame is not to work harder or try harder. His solution is a savior. And that's an important shift that sets the foundation for the rest of the week. The second night was Lecrae, who is a well-known Christian rapper, and so he performed hip-hop as well as spoke, which was a really neat dynamic to see. He's become quite well-known, not in just the Christian music scene, but in secular circles as well. He's been on the Jimmy Fallon show a couple times, so maybe you've seen that. He has won a Grammy. His most recent album was number one on the Billboard Top 200 charts. He hangs out with sports stars, music stars, movie stars, etc. So people tend to see him as pretty important. They're like, oh, wow, like, look at this guy. He's like, look at all that he gets to do. Look at all he's done. He's important. But his message for us was very simple and very clear. He said he's not important or valuable because of all of those things, because of any of the things that he has done. He's important because, just like you and me, he is a child of God. That is where he finds his identity. That is where he finds his worth. That's where he finds his value. And that was the clear message that he shared for us. And with that context, it helped his performance take so much more depth and so much more shape, because we saw a man who is desperately seeking after God's heart, a man who is his father, is his husband, along with being a rapper and being a star and hanging out with LeBron James, who's like the Sidney Crosby of basketball, if you don't know who LeBron James is. But he's important because he's a child of God. the Henrik and the other one. Yeah, there you go, the Jonathan Taves of basketball. And the other point that he made was that God does not come first. God should not come first, which sounds a little bit bizarre. But what he said was God has to come in everything. God has to be a part of everything. It's not, you know, you don't order it like school, work, friends, family, God. You don't even put God at the top of that list. You put God in all of that list, in everything. And so that's the shift for Lecrae, to strive to making sure that God is in everything he does, in his waking, in his eating, his rapping, his speaking, his interaction with the rich and the famous, and in his family life as he is a father and as he's a husband. And he said, success is not what you have done compared to other people. Success is doing what God created you to do. Tuesday night, so the third night of the week, was a night of communion and a night that offered opportunities for students to make a first-time commitment to Jesus or to rededicate their lives to Jesus. And we heard from the North Park University campus pastor, Judy Peterson. And Pastor Judy reiterated what Ben Stewart had said on night one, the need and the beauty of Jesus coming to earth, dying on the cross, and rising again to save us from our sins. And just like Ben had said, this is what everything had to start with. That shift was first and foremost. And then she talked about Judas. She talked about how Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And then she challenged us with the question, what is it that we are selling Jesus out for? What is it in our lives that we are putting above Jesus, that we are choosing over Jesus, that we are ignoring Jesus for? Each of the students, as they came into the arena that night, were handed a handful of nickels. And they were given the opportunity to drop those nickels as a representation of what it was they were done selling Jesus out for. And then finally, Pastor Judy urged everyone to make a shift toward Jesus, just as the man on the cross next to Jesus did when he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. For that man, it had to be a tiny physical shift because he was nailed to a cross. Maybe just a little move of the eyes, maybe a head turn at the most. But his whole heart, his whole focus shifted toward Jesus in that moment. That's the shift that Pastor Judy encouraged all of the students to make, a shift toward Jesus, a shift that puts aside all of the pieces of silver in our lives, and a shift that positions us squarely facing Jesus. Wednesday night, we heard from Pastor Eugene Cho, David's favorite. He's a covenant pastor from Seattle. And Pastor Eugene preached about the shift we need to make in following the lead of Jesus, in seeing Jesus as teacher and as example for us. He tells us that Jesus invites us to live as agents of hope and reconciliation in the world. He shared with us a quote from St. Francis of Assisi, who said, "It is no use walking anywhere to preach unless your walking is your preaching." It is no use walking anywhere to preach unless your walking is your preaching. It is the way we walk, the way that we place ourselves in relationship to what God is doing in the world, that allows us and shows the world that we are following Jesus. And Pastor Eugene offered this challenge to the students. When you wake up tomorrow morning, don't pray, God, how can you be a part of what I'm doing? Pray, how can I be a part of what you are already doing? And then Thursday night wrapped up with Louis Giglio. He's the pastor at Passion City Church. He's the founder of the Passion Worship Movement. Louis kind of affirmed all that had been talked about throughout the week, shifts needed as we all seek to follow Jesus. He also was very clear and very realistic about just how difficult it is to continue to maintain these shifts going forward. The Christian walk can be tough. It can be discouraging. It can be really challenging. It can be deflating, and it can be painful. But there's a couple of things that are vital in continuing forward. One is community. It's friends. It's family. It's a church family that offers love and support and encouragement. And the second is this, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. This is where we go to find life, to find God's breath breathed out for us. Louis was adamant about reclaiming that word holy when we talk about the Bible. It's not just words, it is God's breath. And he said, we have to shift our thinking and realize that the Bible isn't ink on a page, it's breath on a page. And it's not just a collection of books, it's the unfolding story of Jesus. If we want to know him, this is where we have to go. It was an incredible week. And these five speakers were just one part of it. They were a vital part, certainly, but just one part. There were days that were full of fun, full of teaching, full of relationship building, full of worship, full of prayer, full of workshops, full of 5K runs, which was mind-blowing that there were 500-some kids that showed up to do a 5K run at 6:30 in the morning after probably being up till 2 a.m., Emma? 2? 3? Yeah, somewhere in that range? Okay. And they had the opportunity to learn about clean water. There was a clean water initiative that was talked about all week. And we, as a church family, both have the opportunity and we have the responsibility to participate in all of that alongside our youth. This wasn't just a trip or a conference for them. It's not something that they got to enjoy, you know, maybe kind of hold on to and then keep to themselves. No, it is the beginning of a life-changing journey that we all have to be participants in. And so again, I ask you to spend some time talking with our youth today, with Emma. Emma, you're going to just get swamped with people this afternoon. Today, in the weeks to come, find out what it was that they heard. Because no doubt, they heard very different things than I did. They picked out snippets and little pieces of what each of the speakers said that were totally different than what I picked out. They heard things that changed their lives in different ways than what I heard. And so you need to know what those things are. You need to be able to ask them what those things are, and then ask them a month later how that's going. You need to be able to engage in their relationship with God in a really full and meaningful way. Find out what was exciting, what was fun, what was challenging, what they learned, and what can be different, and how you can support them in that. So 95, and now we'll do 5. We'll do what Louis talked about. We'll read a little bit out of the breath of God. Today we're just going to do exactly what I've said we should do for all of the weeks of the parable series. We're going to let Jesus' parable speak for itself. Next week, I will reference this parable, I promise. But at least a little bit for today, I want us to just hear the word of God, the breath of God that's poured out for us. So let me read this parable. I'll let it sit for a few seconds. I'll read it again, and then I'll close in prayer. This is from Luke 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Let me just read it one more time. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Heavenly Father, thank you for an incredible week. We thank you for the lives that were changed this past week, for the shifts made towards you and towards Jesus and towards the world, seeking to do what it is that you would have us do and seeking to participate in what you are doing in the world. God, we ask that this not be just one week, but that it is the catalyst for life change. Life change that is founded on a relationship with your Son, Jesus. And Lord, help us to support our youth in our congregation in the days and weeks and years to come as they live and struggle, as they experience joy and pain, as they feel close to you and when they don't. Lord, help us to be your hands and your feet. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.